This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam. So let's get started. Today we have the 19th Juz in the Juz of the Day program. We have today with us the three surahs that we'll cover, inshallah. We will cover the surah number 25, Surah Furqan. Then we will cover surah number 26, Surah al-Shu'ara, and then 27, Surah al-Naml. These are the three surahs that we have today, inshallah ta'ala. I hope that this will be beneficial, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to everybody. Let's get started. Surah al-Furqan actually begins in the end of the 18 juz, but it continues, and most of it is in this juz. Surah Furqan. The meaning of the word Furqan is the criterion, the thing that differentiates between right and wrong. And this is the surah that actually, one of the goals of this surah is to talk about the people who reject the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using Surah Furqan as the thing that it's an expose on their excuses or expose on the reasons for their rejection of the truth. It's clearly separating what is, the truth and what is falsehood, and why the people who are, engaged in falsehood, they believe in that. So it is a beautiful surah in that regards. Let us get a look at it, inshallah. Its introduction is very powerful. Allah begins by saying, "Tabaraka alladhi nazzala al-furqana ala 'abdihi liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira." Blessed is he who has revealed the criterion, the Quran, to his servant, that he may warn all people. Okay, and that is a beautiful description of who the Prophet ﷺ is, that he is a warner for all of mankind, not just for a specific time or a specific place. He is the one. Allah is the one who lahu mulku samawati wal ard. He is the one, the sovereign of the heavens and the earth. Walam yattakhidh walada, has not begotten any children. Walam yakul lahu sharikun fil mulk, has no partner in his sovereignty. Wa khalaqa kulla shay, he has created everything. Faqaddarahu taqdeera, and has measured things precisely. A very beautiful introduction to tell us about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Sorry about that. It's a beautiful introduction. Then there is a bit of a back and forth that will take place in this surah. Back and forth between, like, they said, and then reply to them, O Prophet. They say, reply to what they're saying, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Allah replying directly to their claims. What is that they said? They said, well, this prophet is in hadha illa ifkun iftarahu, right? Those who deny the truth. This is again an expose on the people who reject the truth. Allah says, in hadha illa ifkun iftarahu. These people say, this is only a forgery of his own invention. Wa a'anahu alayhi qawmun akharun, in which others have helped him. And this is to this day like a trope that is used against the Quran, that the Prophet ﷺ was helped by a servant who helped him come up with the Quran, and the servant knew other languages, so the servant could read the Bible in Syriac or Aramaic, and then translate it to the Prophet ﷺ. So all these kinds of things we find even today mentioned, and the Quran mentions this as, this is not something that's a brand new criticism. This is a criticism that's been around since the days of the people of Quraysh. But Allah says that this is what they said. And they also say that this is fables. Asatirul awwaleen, iktatabaha, the fables of the ancients, which he has written down, or he is fabricating or copying down, and they are dictated to him morning and evening. The idea being that, when we say, how is it that the Prophet ﷺ knows of these intricate details about the theology of Bani Israel, about the intricate details of all these prophets that are, you know, largely unknown to the people, or their details are largely unknown to the people. And that precision and accuracy, like we saw in Surah Kahf, the response is either one of the two. One is that he is receiving this revelation from God. The other is, oh, well, he must have gotten it from somewhere. He's copying it from some source. So this is the response of the people who reject, well, he's copying it. And he's making it up as he copies, like he's adding some information to it. Ifkun iftarahu, and it is dictated to him morning and evening. This is the idea that this is what they say. Now, Allah's response, قُلْ أَنزَلَهُ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It is revealed by him who knows every secret that is in the heavens and on the earth. Truly, he is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Allah says he is the one who knows all the secrets of the heavens and the earth, and he is the one who is revealing this Quran. Now think about this. Maybe this is an implication that Allah is saying, in deep down, the secret that you know is that this claim is not true. You know deep down this claim isn't true. Even if, assume the Prophet ﷺ had a servant who could speak another language, how is it that the details of the narrative of the Quran are so much, like there is a clear difference in the content and the style, and there is a consistency that is actually not found in the alleged original sources. Okay, there is a consistency, and Surah Shu'ara, the next surah, will again point to that. How is that possible, that the copy is better than what it's being copied from? And the other point that was made in Surah number 16 was that they say this has been copied. Allah says, well, if it was copied, how come there isn't any, how come there isn't any terminologies from another language in this book? Because, say, like Quran, as we are, the revelation is in English. The revelation is in Arabic. But when we talk about Islam, there's lots of Arabic terminology in it because the original language is Arabic, right? So that, and then that applies to any language. Like if something is, revealed in a language, or the people who have created some system have created in a particular language, the language of that people becomes like the dominant narrative, and everybody else who learns it from different cultures, acquires and imports constructs into their language. So if the Quran is importing information from a foreign source, how come there isn't any foreign constructs in the Quran? لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. Like Allah says, they say that the language they're claiming that the Quran is importing its information from is not an Arabic language. But this is a clear original Arabic, composition. How is that possible then? If it's copied, how is that possible that none of the original terminologies found its way into the copy? All right. So the Quran refutes this trope like really, really thoroughly, and really leaves no doubt about how this is such a bizarre claim. How it's copied, but there is nothing of the original constructs in the copy. How it's copied, but the copy is better than the original. How is that possible? Copied, and then there's a servant who's teaching the Prophet on this. Well, who is this servant? And how long was he around? And if he was not in Medina, how come the Prophet still has these revelations in Medina? All these questions are, it just tear apart this claim. And the Quran, when Allah responds to this claim, he says, he knows every secret. You know secretly in your heart that this claim doesn't actually have any legs to stand on. So this is the response that Allah gives to this claim, and it is a obviously very, very weak claim against the divinity or the source of the Quran. They also say, well, what kind of messenger is this? He eats and drinks and walks around in the marketplaces. I mean, he's just a human being. We thought a messenger should be like a superhuman. How come there is no angel that's sent with him? Ironically, there is an angel, Jibreel alayhi salam. Why doesn't he have a treasure that's sent to him? Or that he has a garden from which he can eat from. Like, why isn't there something like unique about his material, like about his existence? Like, how come he's not like the like a different human being? How come that he can't have like access to different material resources that we don't have? Okay, that's another claim, another criticism that they say, and that's a lazy one because Allah says, "Unzur kayfa darabu laka al-amthal." Observe what kind of things that they have attributed to you. Surely they have gone astray. Okay, and then Allah responds. He says, "If Allah wanted, tabaraka alladhi in sha'a ja'ala laka khayran min dhalik." If Allah wanted, He can give you that. He could have given you that. He could have given you even better than what you have asked for. But that's the choice of Allah. And Allah doesn't actually explain His choice here because the claim is so fragile. And if, in other parts of the Quran, when this claim is made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, well, the Prophet is a human. And that doesn't take away from his ability to connect or speak to the divine. And that's something we've spoken about. The Prophet is a human, and that actually aids in the fact that that the Quran, right? The that aids in the idea on the fact that the Quran or the Prophet becomes more someone that we can emulate because he's a human being just like us, right? So Allah rubbishes this, brushes it aside, doesn't even actually give like a thorough refutation in this ayah. In other parts, this part has been, or this claim has been debunked. But Allah says, if Allah had wanted, He could have given him a lot more, right? Because it's in His hands. If He acknowledged that He has given him this, He could have given whatever else He wants. The actual reason that you say these things is because بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالسَّاعَةِ, you deny the hour. That's the real reason. Let's cut to the chase. The real reason why you're saying all these things, the rejection of the truth, is بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالسَّاعَةِ. That is the actual idea. And I'm sure Zaklach has started, that was a good point online there about how we learned this is the case yesterday as well. Allah mentions some glimpses of punishment in this ayah or in this surah, ayah number 12 to 14. إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ, this punishment, the blaze, when it sees them from afar, they will hear its raging and roaring, subhanAllah. And when they are thrown into a narrow space, chained together, they will plead for death. دَعَوْ هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا. It will be told to them, don't call for death today, don't call for one death, call for many deaths. And it won't actually do you any good. So it's a glimpse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by presenting to them the end of those who reject the truth. Then He speaks about 18 to 19. Another very powerful passage where Allah says, when we will gather them all together and those that they worship besides Allah, and Allah will ask them, was it you who misled my servants? Or did they stray by themselves? The people that they worshipped, you know, this would include Isa alayhi salam, this would include any other human being or any other saint or any other rock or stone. Rock or stone can't necessarily speak, but a rock or stone representing a person that they want to, revere. They will all disown the people that worship them. They will say, Subhanak, O Allah, you are glorified. It is not proper for us to choose any guardian other than you, but you have given them. وَلَكِمْ مَتَّعْتَهُمْ وَآبَاءُهُمْ. You gave them and their fathers the comforts of this life. حَتَّى نَسُوا الذِّكْرِ وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا بُورًا. And then thus brought destruction upon themselves. The people, فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوكُمْ بِمَا تَقُولُونَ. They have given lie to your assertions, and you can now neither ward off your punishment nor obtain any help. How ironic that a person devotes their life to worshipping a human being, worshipping, someone who they believe claims to be God. And then on the day of judgment, that very person says, I have nothing to do with this person. I never said this. I never preached that. And irony of all ironies, this is now a person who's left by themselves with no help and no way to save off the punishment. And that is a truly wasted life. A life that has truly gone to waste. We ask Allah for protection from that. That's a glimpse of the punishment. Another glimpse of the punishment comes in the next page, ayah number 25. يَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ. A scene from the Day of Judgment, when the sky will split open, with its clouds. وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا And the angels are sent down rank upon rank. الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ لِلرَّحْمَنِ The true sovereignty on that day will belong to الرحمن, the most gracious one. وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا It will be a very hard day for those who deny the truth. How? What's going to happen? يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ On that day, the wrongdoer will bite on his hands. And this is an expression. You know, like, I don't want to do it while I'm fasting. Biting on fingernails is done when someone is nervous, correct? Not a good habit necessarily because you're wrecking your fingernails and kind of disgusting. But it's a habit that people have. Now, يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ is somebody who is so... there's a combination of nervousness and anxiety and of intense regret. Like the regret is so intense that this person just doesn't know what to do. They start gnawing at their hands. It's just something... completely inexplicable. But because they have no other outlet to express their frustration, the thing they start to do is gnaw away at their hand. SubhanAllah. And that is an expression of their regret, the intense regret they're feeling on the Day of Judgment. Arriving in the Day of Judgment, after all these years of living, and to only find out now all that work is just has been completely a waste. And the nervousness of waiting, the anxiety of waiting for the decree and the punishment, and everything is building up and up. So that is the scene. Ya Abu Zalimu ala yadayhi, and he would say, Ya laytani, I wish I had walked with the path of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ittakhathu ma'a rasuli sabila. That's the regret. Ya waylata laytani. Three times this repeats in this ayah, in these two ayahs. Ya laytani, ya waylata laytani. All similarly related words, similar meaning. Late, like this word, ya laytani, and laytani is the same word actually. But waylata is a similar type of word, which means like I am destroyed. Oh, destruction. Like that feeling of just like frustration that you can find words to express. Ya waylata laytani. Sadness you can't find ways to express. Ya waylata. I wish I had not chosen. What's this? The regret? I had never chosen this person, this fulan, such and such, as my friend. Because laqad adallani ani dhikri ba'da idh ja'ani. He misguided me away from the religion, away from the warning, away from the reminder after it came to me. Adallani, adalla is to misguide someone, take someone away or to the wrong way. Adallani, adalla an, as this ayah says, is actually like two things. He took me away and he made me forget both things. So he took me away from the path. And then it made me forget that there was anything like the path in the first place. أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي After it had reached me, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا And Satan is man's great betrayer. SubhanAllah. This is the regret on the Day of Judgment of the people who on the Day of Judgment will arrive and they will have their life's worth, life's work would amount to nothing. And they would then try to find reasons or people to blame, and that would not do them any good, will not reduce their suffering in any way. And the lesson for us as we read this is the importance of being around people who are good. People, if there's a person who is making us forget about the religion, making us distracted or distracts us with everything and anything, but doesn't that kind of friend doesn't make us closer or more devoted to Allah, then that is not a good friend. That is not a good friend. It is an important consideration that who we surround ourselves with, that's a very important consideration. Like the Prophet said, فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ A person is on the religion of their friend, so be very careful who you choose to befriend. And this applies to the person who you marry, the person who you hang out with the most as your spouse, and people who are generally the company you keep. And like we saw in the, for example, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he is, you know, he's described as saying, "Oh Allah, tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin. Oh Allah, allow me to die as a Muslim and allow me to be in the company of the righteous." Okay? Because the company of the righteous, as long as we're in the company of the righteous, we're guaranteed to be in a good place. As soon as we leave that and we're now in, surrounded by people who are about the pleasures of this world, about the materialistic gains of this world, about this or that, that is when trouble is around the corner. Is this ayah about a particular person? The ayat, when they're revealed, unless the ayah names a person, it is not about a specific individual. This is the principle of tafsir, that al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafz la bi-khusus al-sabab. That the ayah is determined by the generic nature of its wording, not by the specific reason it was revealed. The generic nature of the wording actually includes every single person who would fall under this category, and there is going to be more than one person naturally on the Day of Judgment who has this concern, along with whoever the ayah was originally revealed about. Okay, then Allah goes on to talk about reasons for rejection. Reasons for rejection. Again, the surah, its theme is rejection of the truth. Now Allah talks about reasons for rejection. Ayah number 32, He says, those who deny the truth will say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. Why has the Quran not why was the Quran not sent down to him in a single revelation? Why is this piecemeal revelation? We don't get this. Okay, so this is a criticism that they would say, like, okay, why aren't you like Moses? Moses got his whole Torah in one shot, right? If you're a prophet, really like a prophet like Moses, how come you're not like him? Okay, so this was a criticism, and Allah responds, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. This is done. Now, this is now maybe a legitimate question, right? The other questions were weak questions. They had no basis. They had no leg to stand on. This perhaps is a decent question. Why is it that your prophet, you're a different prophet than Moses? Okay, now Allah responds. Why is there a revelation that's different? كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. It is sent so that we might strengthen your heart, O prophet. The piecemeal revelation, it makes the revelation, it brings it about at the time when it is appropriate, and it strengthens the Prophet ﷺ in the times where he needs support. And that is the reason why Allah has sent it piecemeal. And also, وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. It is a given in a gradual revelation, recited in a beautiful way. So as you see, Allah responds to the claims as they come. He says, وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ. Every time they raise an objection, إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ, we will bring you the truth and the best of explanations. And this is a really amazing part. That, you know, like something that I used to think about it more, I should think about it more still, about like the way Allah responds to a claim. If the claim is like legitimate, if there's like some legitimacy, or the question has some legitimacy, the answer is a direct answer. But if the claim or the question is a misdirection, it's weak, it has no legs, the one who's making it deep down doesn't even believe in it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers it in a very, you know, different, in a manner that really makes you pause. And that's the intended effect. It should make the person who's making that claim, who's looking for the truth, give them pause for a sec that, whoa, this is not what we were expecting, right? And this is a beautiful Quranic style, that cutting through the nonsense and going straight to the root cause, that is Allah's way. And that is ahsana tafsira, the best of explanations, subhanAllah. And this is the eloquence of the Quran that, you know, we find that, frankly, even in hadith literature, you don't find it as that. The Prophet ﷺ was the best of the creation. And when he spoke like a human being. People would ask him questions, he would answer, he would oblige, because he's a human being. He's, you know, he doesn't know what the people are thinking in their heart. The way the Quran answers questions is remarkably different than the way the Prophet ﷺ engages in discourse. And again, shows you that the source of the two, or like the one who is, not, excuse me, not the source, but the one whose words it is different. Quran is Allah's word. The hadith is the Prophet's word, even though the meaning for the hadith comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ Ayah number 43. Have you not seen the one who has taken his own desire to be his God? Can you be a guardian over him? أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Here is another reason why a person rejects the truth. They may not have a real argument to make, but what they are following, they may not be following a religion, what they're following is their own desires. The desires to please themselves, the desire to do as they want, to live as they want, to be unburdened by what they feel is a burden. Okay, and that person now has taken that and made it into their is treating it like a god, and this is a scary proposition. There's people who treat many different things at the level of which it becomes a god. It becomes like sacred and unquestioned for them. And that it becomes a very scary situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that as well. Allah mentions that there are signs for those who want to look for Allah all around you. There are signs for those who want to look for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَمْ تَرَكْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَيْفَ مَدَّ الظِّلْ Have you not seen how your Lord lengthens the shadows? Had he pleased, وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَجَعَلَهُ سَاكِنًا He could have made them constant. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا الشَّمْسَ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلًا Then he placed the sun as an indicator for them. Right, the way the shadows lengthen and shorten that, and how, imagine a time lapse, right, of like the sun rising and the shadow is, there's a little bit of shadow, and then the shadow lengthens, and then as the sun reaches its peak, the shadow is shortening, and then it becomes nothing, and then it lengthens the other direction. That itself, right, it shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ قَبَضْنَاهُ إِلَيْنَا قَبْضًا يَسِيرًا withdraw to us, a gradual withdrawal. How every single thing around us has, like, it speaks about or tells us about that this is a planned creation, part of Allah's plan, something that's harmonious, something that fits. And that tells you that there is a one who made it fit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the universe. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا It is he who made the night a mantle for you, a sleep to recover. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا And the day a time for rising. Like, subhanAllah, in sports science, one of the best forms of recovery is sleeping. Right? This is famous, super athletes, like super high performance athletes, they are very particular about how they sleep, because sleep for them is their way to recover. And this is something that we've known for centuries, but today there is evidence that shows how sleep is where your body repairs yourself, how it clears the toxins, it clears, it's a reliever of stress. SubhanAllah, it is the most incredible thing, how sleep helps us recover, right? It's unbelievable, actually. And if, like, imagine if sleep wasn't that. Imagine if a sleep was just like a break. It wasn't like a way to recover. How difficult would life be? But Allah has said He's made the nawma subata, a time to recover. SubhanAllah. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا And a day, a time for rising. Something for us to consider. How everything in this system fits. He is the one who sends the winds as heralds of His mercy. This is the winds that are pollinating and the winds that bring together, blow over the sky, the clouds, and brings rain to places that don't have rain. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا And then we send down pure water from the sky. Rain. And Allah calls the water, rain ma'an tahura, pure water, and He calls it ma'an mubarakan in other places, blessed water. Rain is blessed. We shouldn't, You know, we have a habit of blaming weather and you know, saying bad things about the weather or complaining about the weather a lot. You know, it's okay to say, well, it's cold or subhanAllah, you know, but we shouldn't complain about precipitation, about rain. This is, it's pure water. It's blessed. It's a blessing from Allah. We should be, you know, like thanking Allah for it. Of course, also take your umbrella and whatnot, right? Wear your coats. But the thankfulness should be because Allah is the one who has made this system for us. And that's part of us being gratitude for, being grateful to Him. All of this, through rain, He brings life to a dead land. And He quenches the thirst of the cattle and humans in great numbers through this rain. SubhanAllah, this rain is the one that kickstarts the water cycle, the one that sustains us, that allows us to live and thrive. And this is what, you know, it's a beautiful blessing of Allah. Nuhya bihi baldatan mayta, brings the dead earth back to life. Again, something for us to look and observe and marvel at. We would see at the time of spring how the trees, the leaves reappear and flowers are blooming. And at time of fall, we see the flowers, you know, withering away and the leaves falling. SubhanAllah, these are signs of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life, takes life, gives life, takes life. Right? And mashallah, someone's saying there online that ones who are having insomnia, zakallah khair, they know the actual worth of sleep. Barakallahu fik. It's an excellent point. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. We have explained it in many diverse ways. لِيَذَّكَّرُوا, so that they may take heed. فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. Allah says He has put out the signs for those who want to look. Right? Those who want to look, Allah has put out the signs everywhere. صَرَّفْنَاهُ. Right? But most people are too given into their ingratitude, their rejection of the truth. And that is فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. And what a tragedy. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَظِيرًا. If we had so wished, we would have sent a warner to every town. Not just a community or a nation, but every single town would have Allah, if He wanted to, He could have sent a messenger to that every single town. But that's Allah's decision. Just like it's Allah's decision when to send the rain and what type of earth grows, what kind of plants. It is Allah's decision when to and where to send messengers. Right? That is Allah's choice. He didn't choose to do it that way. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So don't, you know, yield to those who deny the truth. Don't give into these fallacious arguments that they're making. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. In fact, strive against those arguments with it. With it, i.e. by the means of the Qur'an, convey its message, and that is a type of a jihad. As this ayah says, وَجَاهِدُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Explaining and refuting and inviting, using the ayat of Qur'an, that is a type of a struggle, a jihad. He is the one who has merged the two bodies of water. هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتْ. One sweet. وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجْ. One salty and bitter. And then between the two, He has put an insurmountable barrier. And He is the one who has made from from water all human beings. فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِحْرًا. And has granted them ties of blood and marriage. Amazing how our lives are. We are connected by blood, by DNA. We're connected by family that we marry into. An extended family. And that's how we build our families and communities. That's how the people that we gather around with. All of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, He's the one who has built the system and made it for us. وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ قَدِيرًا. Your Lord is all-powerful. Yet people worship other than Allah, that which can neither benefit them nor harm them. And the one who does, one who denies the truth is a helper of evil against his Lord. SubhanAllah, very, very beautiful ayat in which Allah explains His signs that are all around for people to look and ponder and can come to the conclusion to worship Allah alone. Another beautiful sign that He mentions about Himself is His true servants. Allahu Akbar. The ones who truly believe in Allah and follow Allah and, you know, live the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, live up to the word, the letter and the spirit of the revelation. These are people who are a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at what Allah said. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ When they are told, prostrate yourselves before Ar-Rahman. قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ The people of Mecca specifically would say, who is Ar-Rahman? We don't accept this description of God. And this is, you know, something that applicable to our other religions too. You know, we don't accept this characteristic or this way you're describing God, right? أَدْنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا Shall we prostrate ourselves before the one that you want? This increases their aversion. But do you want to know who Ar-Rahman is? You look at Ar-Rahman by his creation. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي جَعْلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا He has put constellations in the skies, a radiant lamp, the sun, an illuminating moon. He's made the night and the day. He has something that alternates. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا For the one who wants to ponder and the one who wants to be grateful. And then he's also put on earth عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ True servants of the gracious. Who, when you look at them and you look at how amazing they are, they remind you who of God. They remind you of who God is. Just like the sun and the moon. Just like the alternation of the night and the day. Just like the constellations in the sky. These people remind you of who God is as well. Subhanallah. And then he talks about who these people are. Amazing characteristics. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا Number one, they walk on earth with humility. When they are addressed in a manner that is inappropriate, insulting, they don't respond to insult with insult. قَالُوا سَلَامًا They say peace. You know, not going to engage in that. They are the ones who spend their nights prostrating themselves, standing before their Lord. They are the ones who make dua as they are prostrating and standing in prayer. And outside of prayer, the dua they're making is, Our Lord, ward off of us the punishment of hell. رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا For its punishment is dreadful, is a dreadful torment. It is an evil abode and an evil dwelling place. Oh Allah, save us from it. They are the ones who, look at, there is humility in the way they walk. There is gentleness. There is a calmness in the way they speak to people. There is a spiritual elevation when they are in their private spaces, having their private moments with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is the ability or the desire to help. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا They're helping people. But they're not extravagant, right? They're not spending too much and thus have nothing left. Neither are they extremely stingy, where they don't spend anything at all, just holding and everything and hoarding everything. لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا But a beautiful balance between the two, they strike. Amazing. They are the ones, لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ They would never invoke any other deity besides Allah, nor kill any person except with due process, nor commit adultery. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ Of course, killing here, when it's saying إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ except with the right, that is in the due process of demanding justice and given justice by a court of law as retributional killing. It is never ever vigilante killing. Just wanted to make that point for someone who I don't want them to misunderstand this. Okay, this is a expression that doesn't translate well. This expression bilhaq illa bilhaq. It's a expression that is very powerful in Arabic and it has many applications. Unfortunately, it doesn't, like, if you read the translation, it may make you think something that actually the expression negates altogether. Unfortunate reality of translations. What can we do? وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا And the one who does so, he does, in particular, this idea, adultery, commit in adultery, have an affair with somebody that they are not married to, that is a person who will face punishment. What type of punishment? يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Their suffering is doubled on the day of judgment and they will abide in it in disgrace except for the one illa man taba the one who repents wa amana and believes wa amila salihan and does good deeds ulaika fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat such people Allah will replace their evil deeds change their evil deeds into good ones. Imagine a person has sinned. They have committed a grave sin in Islam, adultery. They've engaged in something that is completely inappropriate. Yet then after that, they, amend their ways. And they say, "Oh Allah, I'm sorry." And they change their life, making sure that that is something they don't go towards again. Then the sins that they had committed, it's not like Allah will just forgive them and clean the slate. Allah will actually change those bad deeds into good deeds. It's like the negative will become positive. Subhanallah. That is how Allah is. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. That is how forgiving and merciful Allah is. That is why we can never ever think that we have no hope. We can never ever become someone who is despairing of Allah in any way, despondent, not in any way, shape or form, because Allah is the one who can turn your bad deeds into good, subhanAllah, and that is what we hope and pray for. The one who accepts, who repents and does good deeds, surely has turned to God. These are the people, لا يشهدون الزور. Goes back to their interactions, because faith is not just, ritual like salah and dua and Quran. There's more to it. They are the ones who لا يشهدون الزور. They don't bear false witnesses, meaning they're not part of like systemic corruption or exploitation. They're not part of a system that preys on the weak and empowers the powerful. لا يشهدون الزور. They're not part of it. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And when they pass by something that is frivolous, something that is inappropriate, they pass by with dignity. They don't let it affect themselves. When they are those who, when they're reminded of their Lord, they don't turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the signs of their Lord. SubhanAllah, when they're reminded, the reminder gives them pause. They don't, think that, who is this person to remind me of God? I am way better than him. He doesn't know anything. I know much more. That's not their attitude. If they're reminded of something that's good, they accept it. And that reminder is something that changes their course of action. Their dua, as Allah started talking about them, how beautiful it is what they say publicly, qalu salama, peace to the one who is inappropriate. And now look how beautiful what they say to Allah privately. They are the ones who are saying, our Lord, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun, grant us joy in our wives and children, and make us a model for the righteous. Waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Another way to explain this, according to Arabic, would be, oh Allah, make the source of our joy our kids and our spouses, our family, and make us a model for the righteous, make us those who follow the righteous, and make others follow us in righteousness as well. Those are the people that Allah says will be rewarded with lofty mansions in paradise for their patience, for their perseverance, for their steadfastness, and they will be received therein with greetings or welcomes and salutations of peace. Forever they will abide therein, a blessed dwelling, a blessed place of resting. Hasunat mustaqarram wa muqama. Beautiful passage. We ask Allah to make us His true servants that follow Him in all these ways. We ask Allah that because of us, others can find guidance, and we become a way for people to come to God, not a way for people to be pushed away from God. We ask Allah to make us of that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Next surah is Surah Shu'ara, the surah that talks about poets. Okay, not to be confused with Surah Shura, which is surah number 42, we're going to talk about later. Shu'ara, plural of sha'ir, poet. It begins with Taseen Meem. These are the verses of the book that make things clear. And that's the point of the religion, that's the point of the Quran, to make things clear. Okay, even if you may have some questions that are there, but your worldview is crystal clear. Your purpose in life is clear. Where you're heading is clear. The fundamentals of faith are clear. The secondary aspects of faith are also clearer and becoming clearer. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. It may be that you will destroy yourself with grief because they will not believe. A glimpse into the Prophet's feelings. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would feel very sad that people would not accept Islam. Not because, that's like a personal insult, but it's because you know, they're you know, tossing themselves into destruction. And that is something that made the Prophet very, very sad. The Prophet, and Allah says, look, if you wanted, we could send down like a miraculous sign, a sign that breaks all rules of nature. And then they just would be compelled to believe now. There's nothing left but to believe. But then is it really belief? It's no longer belief. Now you've seen, it's as if you've seen Allah. Now it's no longer faith, right? It's as if you've seen the angel of death. It's no longer faith anymore. Now you would be like insane to deny it, because now it's actually something that is visible and obvious, and something that is something that you can see. Faith isn't something that you can't see. So Allah says, you know, maybe this is something, like if you wanted, we could have done this. But that's not the point of believing. The point of believing is believing without having seen Allah, using all the proofs of Allah that are around us to give us the ability to deduce that He is the most dominant, He is, recognize Him, and then to worship Him. Then he says, you know, whenever a warning comes to Allah, from Allah to these people, they're turning their backs towards it. That tells you they're not interested in, you know, in faith. They're not interested in it. So that is something Allah says. They have rejected the message, and the truth of what they have rejected will soon be known to them. Okay, he gives an example. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَمْ أَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ كَرِيمٍ. Do they not see the earth? Because our iman is in blind faith. Our iman is built on basira, on clear evidences. Evidences from inside the book, evidences from outside the book. Do they not see the earth? What kind of beneficial things we have caused to grow in it? فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ كَرِيمٍ. Everything that is so beautiful and you know, desirable and beneficial grows on the earth. It's for us. Inna fi dhalika la ayah wa ma kana aktharuhum mu'minin wa inna rabbaka lahu al-azizur rahim. Surely in this there's a sign, yet most of them would not believe. And your Lord is the mighty, the merciful one for sure. This phrase, that is the theme of the surah. Your Lord is the mighty, the merciful. Okay, this phrase repeats in this surah 8 times. This ayah, inna fi dhalika la ayah wa ma kana aktharuhum mu'minin wa inna rabbaka lahu al-azizur rahim. This ayah repeats 8 times in the surah, and it is really, really fascinating because it always comes at the end of a story of a prophet. Okay, so the first prophet Allah mentions, as is the style of the Quran, as is Allah's preference, is Musa alayhi salam. Of course, the most frequent, the Kalimullah, the one Allah spoke to. He mentions Musa. Remember when your Lord called out to Moses saying, go to the wrongdoing people, the people, the Pharaoh, will they not fear God? Now, some interesting thing here that's different about the story of Musa than from before, right? Here he says, my Lord, I fear they will reject me. He, in other parts of the Quran, he doesn't say that. Here he's mentioning that I have a fear of what they'll do. And also, وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ. They accuse me of a crime, and I fear they'll put me to death. Okay, so he's expressing his reservations going back to the castle of the Pharaoh as a wanted man. Allah says, "Kalla, indeed not. فَذْهَبَا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّ مَعَكُمْ مُسْتَمِعُونَ. Both of you go, you and Harun, and we shall be with you, listening to your call. Go to Fir'aun and tell him that you are the messengers of the Lord of the worlds, and then he needs to set the children of Israel free. Okay, now this passage actually has a beautiful dialogue between Musa and the Pharaoh. Now, Musa now, Allah says this, now imagine the scene cuts to Musa alayhi salam saying these words in the castle of the Pharaoh. Now the Pharaoh responds by saying, Alam nurabbika fina walida? Did we not bring you up amongst ourselves, amongst us as a child? Didn't we raise you and you spent several years of your life with us here? And then you did the deed that you did. وَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ. Remember what you did, Moses? وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Surely you are a kafir. I mean, the irony of all ironies. Fir'aun is calling Musa alayhi salam a kafir. Okay? You are ungrateful. We raised you and now you come here demanding things of us. Right? Look at the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is a skilled politician, a skilled orator. And he does so and he puts Musa alayhi salam, like in a tight spot by responding this way to him. But Musa alayhi salam is going to be helped by Allah. Keep in mind, Musa alayhi salam was not like naturally eloquent, because in Surah number 20, Surah Taha, he says, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً بِلِسَانِي, my Lord, open up the knots of my tongue, يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, so they may understand what I'm saying. Right? And the Pharaoh makes fun of Musa alayhi salam in other parts of the Quran, saying, وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينَ, this person can't even express himself properly. He thinks he's a prophet. But now, here is the beautiful thing. When a person is doing something for the sake of Allah, the help of Allah comes, and Allah puts words on your mouth that you didn't even realize you had in you. Okay? And that is what you will see from the amazing way Musa alayhi salam is going to talk about how he's going to have this dialogue. He says, "Well, fa'altuha idhan wa ana min ad-dallin." I did that when I was one of the misguided. That was in the past, and I didn't actually know much. And I ran away because I feared from you. I feared that I wouldn't get justice. That's why I ran away. Okay? Now my Lord has given me wisdom and has made me a prophet. Okay? Now I know better, and now I'm guided divinely. And this is the favor with which you have that you taught me. تِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. You're saying that I am being ungrateful. You're trying to say that you've done some favors to me by raising me, when you have enslaved my people. I was in your house because I couldn't be with my family. That's why I was there. So you are going to, taunt me with this. This is very similar to like how someone would, like, you know, how we have, you know, countries invading other countries, and they'll say, oh, these guys are so ungrateful, we built some roads for them. Well, you built the roads after bombing all the roads. You built the roads after destroying everything. What kind of a favor is that? Right? So this is what Fir'aun was doing, and Musa alayhi salam, you know, rebukes him in a very, very amazing way. Now Fir'aun has like no counter. So he says, well, who is this Lord? وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ? What is this Lord of the universe? Okay? Not who, he says, what is the Lord of the universe? In a kind of like a derogatory way. Musa alayhi salam responds. He says, قَالَ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُم مُقِنِينَ, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, if you are convinced. Now, imagine this. Musa is saying, it's like the camera is on Musa and the next camera is on Fir'aun. The camera turns to Fir'aun, and he's turning to the people around him, and he's like, do you hear what he's saying? Right? Musa continues, رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ أَبَائِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ, he is your Lord, the Lord of your forefathers. Camera on Fir'aun. Your messenger, this messenger who's been sent to you, O people, he's gone crazy. Musa continues, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ مَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, he's the Lord of the East, the Lord of the West, and all that lies between them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, if you could understand. Now the Pharaoh is angry. And he says, if you take any deity other than myself, I will throw you in prison. If you dare claim there's a God besides me, I will imprison you. Okay, this is the dialogue, right? That wasn't mentioned before. That's a fascinating dialogue. How Fir'aun starts from a position of power. He's actually in his castle. Musa alayhi salam is standing lonesome by himself there with his brother on the side. And how the tables turn, amazingly, by what Musa alayhi salam had to say. A very beautiful glimpse. Now, also this story then mentions about how Musa threw his staff, and then the Fir'aun wanted all the sorcerers to come and go against Musa, had like a one-on-one with him. Of course, the sorcerers, the magicians, accepted Islam the moment they saw the miracle, because they knew this is not some magic trick. They knew this was a true miracle, a God-sent miracle, a miracle that breaks the laws of nature. And they said, we believe in the Lord of the worlds. Now, here, interestingly, the Pharaoh says something that he hadn't said before. He said, have you come to believe in him before I have given you permission? Like this, he said that before, right? Like, how dare you believe or make up your mind before I have given you permission? But then he says, he is surely your master who has taught you magic, right? What a ridiculous claim. These are your magicians. You brought them from all parts of your land. Musa alayhi salam didn't even meet them. And now you're claiming in defeat that Musa is the one who taught your magicians. Talk about a sore loser. Okay? And then, not just this is the worst of the worst criminals. He says, I will cut off your hands and feet on alternate sides. and then I'll crucify you. Not just kill you. I'll make you an example. I'll make you suffer. And then I'll show everybody how you're suffering. وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ And so that nobody dares do what you have just done. Okay? This is a tyrant who is the worst criminal that you can imagine, who is also the most insecure person that you can imagine. What a toxic mixture of the two. Of course, these people were like, we are true believers in Allah. We don't care what you do, O Pharaoh. And they became martyrs for the cause of their religion. Interestingly, these people were not Bani Israelites. Like, they were Egyptians. They were of a different ethnicity. But it shows you, when a person believes, ethnicities doesn't matter. Musa alayhi salam was from a different ethnicity. Musa's people were enslaved. The magicians were Egyptians. Why would they lower themselves to believe in the prophet of the people that they rule over? But all of that is, for the one who looks for the truth, all that is secondary, right? The Pharaoh or the people, you know, would look down on Musa and Bani Israel. But once you recognize that Musa is the prophet of the truth, khalas, everything goes out the window. You accept and you follow. And that's what following the truth means. And that's what these people show, how amazing. We hope that our Lord will forgive us as we are the first of the believers, right? We're going to take this step. We don't care what happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa to set forth. And in this passage, we find now Musa alayhi salam is standing in front of the sea. And the two groups are seeing each other. Pharaoh is pursuing in hot pursuit of Musa and Bani Israel. And Musa's people say, "Inna lamudrakun," we are sure to be overtaken. We're done. But Musa says, "Kalla inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen." He says, "No, my Lord is with me and he will guide me." And that is an amazing expression of what true trust is. You take whatever you can, you do whatever you can, you control all the variables you can control, but everything else you leave to Allah afterwards. And Musa shows that. He says, "I've done everything that I could have. Now my Lord will never let me go to waste." Inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen. So we told Musa to strike the sea with a staff, and it parted. Fanfalaq. فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ And each part was like a huge mountain. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them pass through that, save Moses and his people, and he drowned the Pharaoh and those who were with the Pharaoh. In that, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ Indeed, your Lord is mighty and merciful. Right? Mighty in extracting his, in supporting his messenger, merciful in forgiving those who followed the messenger. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned here, similarly as it starts off, he's talking to his people, his father, and they're like, "Well, we worship idols and we will cling to them because we like them," right? That's what we are. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam is going to like have his dialogue. Just like Musa had his dialogue, now Ibrahim's going to have his dialogue. His dialogue is, هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِسْتَدْعُونَ Do they hear you when you call them? أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضَرُّونَ Do they help you or harm you? Right? Like, what's the reason? Tell me. Give me a reason why you're worshipping these rocks and stones. They said, well, because our fathers used to do the same. That's our culture. That's what we do. Okay? Ibrahim alayhi salam is like, no. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ They're all enemies to me. The only one who I believe in and I worship is the Lord of the universe, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي, a beautiful passage. He's describing who Allah is. He is the one who created me. He guides me. He gives me food. He gives me drink. When I am sick, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ Then he is the one who heals me. Amazing subtlety. He created me. He guides me. He feeds me. He gives me water and drink. But not, he makes me sick. No. When I get sick, he heals me. And this is what true belief in Allah means. We associate to Allah all the good. We associate to our Lord all that is good. Of course, good and evil are from Allah. That's Allah's decree, Allah's plan. It doesn't happen without Allah's permission and Allah's execution. But we don't associate the evil to Allah so that we don't blame Allah for the test that he is in, the test that we're in, and thus become impatient and ungrateful. And this is an amazing thing that our father Ibrahim alayhi salam is teaching us. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحِينَ He will cause me to die and he will bring me back to life. He is the one I hope will forgive my flaws on the day of judgment. My Lord, grant me wisdom and reunite me with the righteous. And he made dua for his dad. Forgive my dad. He is of the misguided. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. Do not disgrace me on the day of judgment when people are resurrected. The day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْلُمْ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except the ones who come with a sound heart, only they are the ones. Only that is what matters. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. What truly matters on that day of judgment is, you know, sincerity and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَا وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. His passage concludes, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now, I want to show you something and then I'll end with this, inshallah. Notice something interesting. Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned and Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ, their brother Noah said. Their brother Noah, correct? Nuh. You notice that? And he gives them da'wah. He says to them, obey Allah, worship Allah, fear Allah and obey me. This is what the call of the messenger is. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Right? Obeying Allah, fearing Allah, worshipping Allah and obeying the Prophet. Okay? So they say that. The people reject, of course. And after they reject, they are drowned. In that there is a sign. And your Lord is surely the mighty and merciful. Then Allah mentions Aad. And Aad's prophet was Hud. Notice what Allah says about them. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ هُودٌ. Their brother Hud said to them, brother Hud, right? Will you not fear God? أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. I am a messenger. You know, fear God and then obey me. The same message across time. From time across time, the same message. I don't ask you for money. My reward is with Allah. Just, you know, accept the message that your Lord has sent to you for your own benefit. Okay. They obviously respond by denying and rejecting him, and Allah then ends them. And in that there is a sign for those who believe, but most don't. And your Lord is the mighty and merciful. Then Allah says, "Kadzabat Thamudul Mursaleen." Thamud. If qala lahum akhuhum, their brother Salih. Again, brother Salih. Yes. Same message. Ala tattaqoon, will you not fear God? I am a trustworthy messenger. Fear God and obey me. The message of all the prophets was the same. I don't ask you for money. My reward is with Allah. I don't want your money. Okay? I don't want to make you poorer. I'm just here to convey the message that God has sent me, and I am a trustworthy messenger. And with Salih alayhi salam, you obviously he had the hadhihi naqa, the she camel that Allah mentions. But of course, fa'aqaruha, they killed the camel, and that of course became the source of regret. فَأَخَذَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ, the punishment came down, and that is a sign. But most don't believe, and your Lord is the mighty and merciful. Then Allah mentions the people of Lut. كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ لُوطٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Again, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ لُوطٌ, when their brother Lot said to them. Again, brother Lot, brother Lut, right? أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, will you not fear God? I am a trustworthy messenger to you. Then fear God and obey me. Lut al-Islam had the same message as well. Even though his people were given to deviances of a sexual nature, the message of worshipping Allah and following the Prophet was consistent there as well. It says the same thing. I'm not asking for money, right? My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He addresses, by the way, their situation. أَتَأْتُونَ الذُّكْرَانَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Like, are you engaging in this homosexual behavior, leaving what naturally your Lord has made for you, what is purer for you? Their response is, if you don't stop, O Lut, we are going to, لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ, we will banish you. And this is the way, a lot of times, of the movement, of this movement here, the movement of characters, right? Or the alphabet movement, that if you were to speak out against them, God forbid, that is banishment. You're canceled. You're done. Okay? Your career is over. Okay? And that is what Allah refers to as well here in the Quran. لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ, you'll be canceled. Okay? Look at what Lut al-Islam says. Inni li'amalikum min al-qalin. I am one who abhors your ways. I really dislike what you're doing. I abhor what you're doing. Not you, the person. And this is the message. We're not hating the person. We're not hating on like individuals. It's the action. It's the commitment to that action. All right. And it's that action becoming like a lifestyle and almost taking like a godlike place. That's what we abhor and that's what we're against. He makes dua, oh Allah, save me and my family. They were saved. And that, besides his wife. And in that, there's a sign for those who believe, but most don't. And your Lord is mighty and wise. Now, sorry, I'm going a little over time, but please stick with me. كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ The dwellers of the forest also rejected the messengers. Huh? Who is the dwellers of the forest and who is the prophet? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ When Shu'ayb said to them, will you not fear God? Notice it is not their brother Shu'ayb. You notice that? Not brother Shu'ayb. What is the reason? By the way, the message is the same. Will you not fear God? I am a trustworthy messenger. Fear God and obey me. But now why would Allah differentiate Shu'ayb alayhi salam in this manner? All the other prophets before were described with their nations. Okay? Like this is their people. This is their people. Except Shu'ayb. Shu'ayb is described with his people as Ashabul Aika, the people of the forest. And here, Aika is not just that they lived in the forest. These were worshippers of trees. They believed the trees had spirits and, you know, they worshipped those trees as a way to, like, you know, as a god. So the identity of Shu'ayb is separate from them. Even though he may be of the same ethnicity, he is with them. He calls with he lives in that community. He invites them, but because Allah mentions them as worshippers of these trees, Allah does not call Shu'ayb their brother anymore, because that brotherhood is not established. You know, brotherhood is established on the basis of ethnicity, shared ethnicity. Or if you're now talking about faith, it is established on the basis of faith. Shirk is not a basis for brotherhood. Ashabul Aika. Very subtle how the Quran makes that point. That even though ethnically you might be the same, or you are living together and whatnot, but you are not going to be brothers in disbelief. You are going to be brothers in faith or brothers in humanity. And that's a very subtle point that the Quran makes. And, you know, notice he has the same message, right? Give full measure, cause no loss, etc., etc. That we have talked about before. And this concludes the surah. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ The surah, after this, Allah says this is the revelation from the Lord of the universe. It concludes with shu'ara. The name of the surah is right here. وَالشُعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ The poets. The ones who were described here as poets are the ones who would incite people to say and do things that were inappropriate, not good poets, but poets that would incite evil and poets who would incite animosity against the Prophet ﷺ. Poets who would mislead by being entertainers who would normalize inappropriateness. Okay, and Allah says that is, you know, that is unfortunately a reality in the way people are. But there's not all of them that are bad. Not so are the true believers who do good works and remember God a lot. So inshallah, with that, we'll conclude Surah Al-Naml, Surah number 27 here. We will look at, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow. It talks about the ant that spoke to Sulaiman alayhi salam. We'll refer to that, inshallah, because that surah continues into the next juice as well. Jazakumullah khair for sticking around to the very end. I will see you all, inshallah, tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah.